Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I've never been this nervous in my life.
Greetings from Long Time No See, the podcast. Every week, we'll be inviting two blindfolded comedians to answer a series of questions about their careers, lives, and opinions. Now, let's remove those blindfolds and start the show.
Hi!
What would your opening line with your celebrity crush be?
Loved you in Harry Potter.
Worst date you've been on?
A man bit my neck mole off once.
You did what?
A man bit my neck mole off.
Oh my God, Jack almost fell off his chair.
Be sure to follow and subscribe to the podcast.
Hi, this is David Frangioni, CEO and publisher of Modern Drummer magazine. So excited about our new podcast, the Modern Drummer Podcast. This weekly podcast will bring Modern Drummer to life. Sit back and enjoy fresh, fun, and insightful conversations with today's top drummers, producers, musicians, beat makers, and craftsmen. Whether you're a professional, a hobbyist, drummer, musician, programmer, producer, or just love music, this show is for you. Every other week, the Modern Drummer Podcast will feature world-renowned producer, songwriter, and drummer, Narda Michael Walden. Narda Michael Walden's Upbeat is featured exclusively on the Modern Drummer Podcast.
I know David right now is looking at that drum kit and those concert toms, that Sonar kit, and I know he wants to say something. He's dying to say something.
Oh, go ahead, David. I'm sorry. We completely.
No, completely I'm just having a great time listening, like everybody else out there, and learning. And Nir, I'm a huge fan of your work.
I appreciate it, man. That means a lot. Thank you.
Well, it's what you've played means a lot, and the inspiration that you've brought the world and to drumming. You play Sonar as your brand, right? That's your choice of drums.
Yes, definitely.
I see the concert toms in the back there. Tell us not only about the concert toms, which I want you to share with everybody, but tell us about what else your studio rig is and what changes you make to the rig, if it's live or if it's a certain kind of session, snare drums. Like, geek out a little bit for what you do with gear, because your sound is so great. A lot of guys want to know what you're using so they can see how it adapts to their setup.
That's a beautiful kit.
That's a beautiful, and I'll tell you the whole thing behind it. I mean, really my entire career, I played three drum companies, my whole career. This is the third and probably the last. Now, those guys showed up in my studio. One of the guys you guys all know, we all love, is the funny guy, Marco. Marco showed up here with the guy, Jerry Goldenson, the president for KHS Corporation. He's a dear friend. And Carl Hines from Sonar Drums. They basically showed up here and they set up this vintage kit right in my studio. It was one of those white pearl, marine pearl finishes. Play it. I'm like, okay, it's a stunning looking kit, first of all. And B, once I played it, I was, oh my God, that's undeniable. Okay, so that was, put this one out of the way. I played all the series, you know, the SQ2, the SQ1, they making, all the drum kits are pretty amazing. Something for my own personal taste, there is a combination on the vintage series where you get the vintagey flavor, but also can be very modern and very powerful, if you like. I think obviously it's the wood, it's the, you know, the hoops. They have those very unique hoops, which is kind of, it's almost in between a triple flange and a die cast. It's not as heavy as a die cast, but not as light as the classic triple flange, they call it, right? So for me, I find it just give you the right amount of focus and control, you know? And for my own test, they don't ring too much. Hmm. You know, and I guess because I'm such a studio nerd, we always, in the studio, doesn't matter what you have in front of you, you always put an extra towel, extra gaff tape, extra this, extra that. And for me, this was kind of ready to go. And doesn't matter, by the way, what configuration, what drum heads, what kind of tuning, they always work. It's always sounds
good. So it has just the right amount of decay that you don't have to put any external dampening and exactly. You get the sound that you want.
Exactly.
That's amazing. So it's like perfectly dry, but resonant.
Exactly. And for a matter of fact, for your information, we just did 2 days of videos for Sono drums related to everything I just talked about. The whole idea is to show you how versatile this drum set is. So what I mean by that, I played from like, imagine the Bonham configuration, okay, with the right tuning and approach, down to a bebop kit, down to like a fusion kit, down to, I moved from one setup to another, which was honestly a bit of a challenge because, you know, it's like, you need a minute to adjust in. So here is the story behind the vintage series. More than that, even the vintage series snare drum, I end up using this snare drum so much because it's just amazing drum.
Now wait, you know? Two things. Which exact snare drum? And then I want to jump to something. I know you have your signature sticks, but do you have signature drums coming out anytime soon?
So no, we actually did talk about it, but at the same time, every time we think about it, it's like everything done, everything made, you know, there is so many options out there. There is something we've been discussing, and when it will be the time to share, I will, you know, but I want to make sure that, you know, to me, putting a signature instrument out there, I want it to be something that actually means something to the player, something that actually different and good. It's and not it's just special. To put and special, you know.
Yeah.
It's very easy to take a drum shell now and whatever, put some logo on it and turn it into a signature
drum,
as you know.
Right. Same but you don't symbols. Do that, and Sonar doesn't do that. Because if you look at the Benny Greb signature drums, they worked on him for years to get the, you know, what he had in his mind. So you, it sounds to me like, you know, you're going to take the same exact approach. If it's not something 100%. New and representative, then there's no reason to reinvent the wheel.
100%.
So what snare drum is it then that is one of your secret sauces?
One of them, actually, I can show you right now. It's this. Can I show it to you? I'll bring it.
Absolutely.
Even Sono might prefer that I'll show a different finish because this finish is discontinued. But it's the same vintage series. Okay, so this is just a 5.5 by 14.
And what's the model?
It's the vintage series.
It's not an SG, this or that. It's just called Vintage Series. Okay.
Yeah, it goes with the kit.
Goes with the kit.
Wow, very cool, cool logo. That's a new Sonar logo?
That's the Vintage logo.
Oh, okay. Wow. Okay, I haven't seen that. Nice.
Yeah, so I can show you. I'll take another drum off this, the kit.
Kind of reminds me of my Octoplus kit back in the day.
See, look at this, for example.
Wow.
You see the finish?
Yeah, wow.
This is the black slate, they call it.
And is that gold or silver on the hardware?
It's silver. Maybe because of the lights, it looks gold.
Yeah, well, it's just very, very, you can just see the quality. I mean, those hoops are, I mean, those look like the old Gretsch diecast.
Yeah, it is actually has a combination. And there you go. I'm experimenting with different drum heads right now on the concert toms. This is the beach shell, you know, what Sono knows for. And it's a good story.
It's lighter, right? We spoke about
that.
Oh,
yeah.
Now.
By the way, even the bass drum, it's a virgin bass drum. There is no resonant drum head. So the entire kit, it's all...
A single-headed bass drum. No lugs on the other side.
Single-headed bass drum, brother.
That's
and you know
cool.
what?
That's the 70s, man. That's the 70s. That was like...
Yeah. I'm telling you.
You're holding that drum up, and I could pretty much hear that sound.
You can hear it.
Yep.
So I got to tell you, last night, we do this hang sometime. Our mutual friend, my brother, Shannon Forrest.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Oh, yeah. I saw him play with Toto. Absolutely awesome.
And he's like, I mean, I was there last night, me and Shannon, Chris McHugh joined us. We had some ribeyes. We played some drums. We listened to music.
Nice. Now, yeah, Shannon has, actually, we have him scheduled coming up down the line, but he has a beautiful studio as well.
Dude, well, wait a second. Put the drums aside. I want a ribeye with you next time.
There you go. Yeah, yeah. And you know what? I got to give it to Shannon. You tell him Neil was talking about your ribeye because he knows how to make this right, my friend.
Nice.
And so I took because Chris, you know, we're gigging. Like we like a bunch of kids. You know, Chris always brings something. He find those, like, hey, guys, I find those new beats hi-hats from the 70s. You guys got to hear it, you know, okay. And I said, all right, you guys want to hear the concert tom? So I'm going to grab two of the toms with a stand so you guys can play it over there. You know, we just a family hang, you know.
That's the way we used to do it growing up.
That's the way we used to do it, you know, and we need to do it more often. And that's one of the good things that happened because of the pandemic. That people start to chill out a little bit and reach out to one another. And you know what? Let's just be human beings here. Let's connect a little bit, you know? So going back to these drums and the gear, David, this is started, believe it or not, I did a record down here in my studio. Great band, by the way. You would love them. They call El Vado. I'll tell you all about it. And I had a vision. They're like, what do you think? I heard the music. So I set up. I'll show you another beautiful drum. I have to show it to you. Hold on. Look at this finish.
Wow.
Wow, that looks like the classic Ludwig or Slingerland or Rodgers from the day.
Slingerland, I was just going to say, it's got like a Slingerland kind of
that's
finish.
The lugs look Slingerland-like, but the finish is
it's the same thing. So this is the very first one they made in this finish. And that was a special request. Now it's in the catalog, by the way. Now you can order this finish. So what happened, this particular kit has... It's like a Ringo setup. It's a 22-inch bass drum. This is a 13, and there is a 16 floor and a mat snare. when those guys came over, I'm about to cut drums. I said, you know, man, I want to get this cool 70s drum sound. So I took my time. We took the bottom heads off, plus the bass drum, with the right dumping and everything. And I actually put the microphones inside the toms.
Nice.
And it just ended up being such a pleasant sound. It makes you smile. That's all I can. We all had a big smile on our face. You know, one of those warm, round, timeless drum sound. And then Jerry Goldenson from KHS, which is Sonor, he heard the recording because I love the way those drums sound. Like, yeah, it's the vintage series, but no bottom heads. He goes, all right, we need to make those. We need to make you a kit like that. And here is the result behind me.
Excellent.
Of this project.
Excellent.
This is how everything started. And you want to talk about the gear, about audio gear, David? That's what you said. Did we cover the drums?
Now that you've shared so much on the drumming, Billy's been telling me that, you know, what you're doing technologically in your studio setup is something that a lot of drummers will want to understand and implement to whatever capacity they can. So tell us what you're up to there.
As far as the setup, as far as the gear, obviously, you know, you get to a point where if we're talking the microphones and the mic pre's and so on, it's something I'm telling everybody because I honestly got a lot of questions from many people during the pandemic who got to a point, you know, they want to put a recording set up in their home studio and on and on. Now, it's very easy to fall into this black hole there that will be very expensive. So I always said you need to have a budget. First of all, you need to decide what is your budget, how much you can afford to spend on the gear that you need to record your own drums. And then you put the priorities together. What is the most important piece of gear to get in order to record your drums and be able to send it to other people and make it sound like drums. And that can be an endless journey. Okay. Now, in my case, over the years, I find myself every time I work in a fancy studio somewhere in town and I went back to my studio, I'm expecting to hear the same sound, you know, and it was very frustrating for quite a while. You know, and in one point, and I'm not saying this is what you need to do if you're just starting, you know, but in one point I made a rule for myself, okay, I'm not dealing with any mediocre gear anymore because you pretty much, you get what you paid for. It makes sense?
Absolutely.
So I end up, as far as my, I use Pro Tools like everybody else, or most people. Are you guys familiar with this genius guy named Eric Valentine?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's a great drummer.
He's a great drummer, great producer, great everything. David, are you familiar with him?
I sure am.
So, when, I've always been a fan of his work, regardless. But later on, I find out that he's a genius when it comes down to build audio gear. You know, this is a guy who built his own mixer, you know? And I went to see him. I watched him, I would say 4 years ago or so, down here at Vintage King. He did like a masterclass demonstration. And I got to tell you, man, when he played back some of his drums recording, I was shocked. I mean, it was behind good. It was so good that I was like, it's like, how can it be?
Where did he record it?
In his studio. He brought sessions to the masterclass he did, and he was presenting the mic pre's that he's making. It's called, the company called Undertone. Have you heard those?
I have. They're under the radar, but I've heard of them.
So I can tell you that here in Nashville, it's no brainer. Everybody wants to have Undertone. So what happened, I had a bunch of different mic pre's. I had API, some of the Neve. I had a bunch of everything. And they gave me a unit to experiment with the Undertone so I could compare it to what I have. And once I recorded with the Undertone, I was sold, and I end up changing my whole setup. And I became exclusively, I got 16 channels of the Undertone mic pre's for the drums.
And did you find that getting the sound you heard that blew you away was you were at that because the mic pre's were that significant?
I think that the mic pre's are that significant because it does have, first of all, those are very, they very versatile mic pre's. It's not just a straightforward mic pre's. It gives you a few options for different colorations, you know.
Without using really EQ, but different types of
pre's. No,
it's just the pre's. Just the input stage, it can color it.
Yes, exactly.
Right on the pre. And are the 16 channels, does he do, I know obviously people will go online, they'll find this out in a minute, but just quickly, does he do like 8 in a one space rack? Like, how's he configure 16?
I got, in my case, it's 4 units or 4 mic pre's in each unit.
Okay, so you know, four channels per box.
Four channels per box, exactly.
Okay. Okay.
And if we talk in the price range, we're talking pretty much, you know, I believe like the API in the same price range.
Sure. So, I mean, and that's really high quality, you know, that's a high quality product, but a high quality price range. But look, the thing about mic pre's is that you buy great mic pre's, you're going to have them forever.
I agree 100%. You buy a great microphone, you're going to have it forever. So I went really the extra mile, and it took me some time and you know, and a lot of explanations to my wife why I want to spend, you know, $3,000 on a microphone.
We can all relate to that.
I'm sure, you know. So, but I will say this, I will say that there is many options out there to really start something that will be totally okay. And if you do it right, you can achieve some wonderful sound. A lot to do with it, it's the environment. Before we even go into mic pre's and microphones and so on and so on, it's where you're recording your instrument.
Right.
It's the room.
Well, you know? It is. And that's the thing, is that it's a chain. And you hear it a million times, but a lot of people don't put the right emphasis on the fact that you've got all 100%. These links, the links in the chain, and whatever that worst and weakest link is what's going to be the limiting factor. So if everything is really high quality from the drums to the heads to, you know, of course, let's start with the player, because I think, you know, so much has to do with the touch and the approach. Then you have the drums themselves, the heads, the tuning. Then you get to the microphone. Then you get to the mic pre. Then you get to the room that everything's. I mean, all of these things, you've got it all worked out. But it has to be worked out.
It took time. You know, I don't know if you can see. I'm sure you can see. I'm looking at the screen. You see the drums towers on the sides?
Yes.
Right? And there is another tower like that on the other side of the room. And I'm actually trying to even up in order to get an even sound on both sides of the room. And I find out that the actual drum shells, the shells of the drums standing like that, make the room sounds better.
That's interesting. That's very interesting. Yeah, and I can see that because it's bouncing off. And the tone, it probably picking up certain tones here and there.
It does. And also because the drums are different sizes, the shells are different sizes, it right. does create, it's a diffuser, really.
Yeah.
So this is something that you need to experiment. I mean, there is really no way to, it never like that. Like, okay, I bought the gear, I treated the room, I'm going to set up the drum kit over there, I'm going to start record. It's going to take a minute. Learn the rules, first of all. Learn, if you're really into record yourself, record drums. And obviously, we all know you can go on YouTube and get a trillion tips and guidance from so many people. There is some rules to it. It's physics when it comes down to microphones and so on and so on. Learn the rules. Make sure you know how to do it the classic way, the safe way.
Right.
Then go ahead and break it.
And people have to understand that they have to be ready and have enough experience to invest to do that, because a lot of the younger generation, they just think that if they just buy all that equipment, they're going to sound great. And that's not what it's about.
Well, and it's no different. The thing that I want everybody to learn from this conversation specifically is that it's no different than you can't just buy the same exact Sonar drums that Nir's playing and all of a sudden you're going to sound like him. You've got to take every facet of it and perfect it and fine tune it to your playing style, your room, your environment, and not stop until it really sounds great.
Yeah. And Kevin Valentine, you know, talking about Kevin Valentine, my son Maddie, because he does all these geeky videos for studio stuff.
And Maddie is a great example. He's a genius in his field, you know, and I'm sure he knows Eric Valentine.
He does. And actually, when he was turning me on to Eric, I knew a different Eric Valentine that also played drums that used to tour with Steve Lukather. So I thought he was talking about that Eric Valentine. Then when he was he was obsessed with this Eric Valentine. And what I got out of it was he was married to Grace Potter. He's married to Grace Potter.
Yep. She's amazing. Exactly.
But yeah, Maddie was the one who turned me on to Kevin. And Maddie loves your, you know, of course, you know, he loves your playing.
I appreciate that. Back at him, man. Back at him. I appreciate it. It's all about patience. It's all about practicing because, you know, I'm going back to the gear thing for a second. It's very much like, you know, you play drums, you practice your drum kit or you practice your instrument. You need to practice how to record the instrument. To this day, I'm amazed that what 2 inches distance, moving the microphone 2 inches away or closer does to the sound. It still blows my mind. And I'm sure you know it because
David actually builds studios for a living. That's what he's been doing for the last 30 years.
So you
well,
know
that's one of the 16 things that I've been doing. That's right. But yes, you're absolutely right, Nir. It's an art form and a nuance that really, you know, since most of the people listening are drummers, you know, I'll say, because like Nir and Billy, I'm both a drummer and an engineer and a producer and a studio builder. Yep. So all these different hats, I can tell you that no different than, you know, the pianissimo to mezzo forte to, you know, to grande forte, you know, has such a different effect on playing a drum or a hi-hat or a ride cymbal. It's like the same thing where all of these, it's nuances, and you can almost take it for granted because when you work with a great engineer, you know, you they already instinctively know what to do to capture those nuances. So they're not really experimenting as much, but most of us, and especially when you're really getting, just getting into it, you've got to try all these things and learn where and what the nuances are. I had an incredible, you know, what I would call blessing to have been great friends with an engineer named Roger Nichols, he's passed away now for some years, but he was a very, very dear friend for many years. And he, you know, 7 Grammys and Steely Dan Asia, and Gaucho, right? On and on and on. He lived in Nashville for a while. He also lived in Miami where I am for a while. So some years of his life, we really got to spend a lot of time together. And all of this I'm bringing up because he was constantly improving his art. And here's someone who everybody else in the industry was learning from, yet he himself never stopped learning. And it was just incredible. What you said is so spot on there, that he would still be fascinated with a new mic through a new pre with a new cable at a new angle. And the drum opens up on the recording and you can't really make logical sense in your head, but it's there. So you're using your ears and then you're working on how you're going to make these physical adjustments and these electronic adjustments to get this end result. And it is truly an art form.
And you know what? One of the good things that came out of the pandemic now is everyone is learning how to be their own engineer and how to do all this kind of stuff. Because I don't think it's ever going to go away. It was going on beforehand anyway, with people sending tracks around and, you know, files. And, you know, of course we all like playing with musicians, but now it forced everybody to kind of learn their studio. So a lot of engineers are not, you know, a lot of guys, not me, because I don't have the patience for it. I want to just sit down and play. But a lot of people are learning how to run their own, get their own sounds, which is going to help them now when they go in, which I'm sure even yourself, you know, why not stay home and do the track if you can, you know, and then if you do go to the studio, if it is a young up and coming engineer producer, you can actually help, you'll be helping him.
100%. I mean, I think we should all keep it, everything you both have said, and I want to also respond to what David was saying about the engineer. You got to keep an open mind these days. It's an endless journey of learning and adapting. We constantly adapting, you know, because if we're going back even to the 90s, Billy, we talked about New York. It was pretty consistent. If you remember, you had the live shows going on. You had the recording studios. You had an amazing engineers, producers around.
Right.
And life were pretty consistent. You definitely did not deal with any pandemic, a virus who could kill you, right? But right now, everything in life required us to adapt. And that's include, doesn't matter if you have a business for, I don't know, a restaurant somewhere, or you're a musician, you know? And important note about the microphone thing, David, I don't know if he disappeared. Can you hear me still, David?
I can, yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry, yeah. Also remember, and I would be the great example, happened so many times, I was in sessions in town, okay? Give you guys a classic example, happened not long time ago. I'm just being the drummer. And by the way, Billy, that was at the same studio. It's at Sun Emporium, where you came to visit me at the time.
Oh, that took me back. Great. I felt like I was walking in, I felt like I stepped back into the 70s when I walked
into the 70s, right? So guess what, David, the guy was the engineer. He had a couple of the Coles microphones in front of the drum kit. And he put him in a position that I never experienced before. Okay. But I didn't judge anything. I was curious to hear it in the control room. And it sounded beautiful. Okay. He just had this weird angle and the way he distanced them from the drum kit. And I solo the microphones in the control room, and I'm like, man, that sounds so beautiful. I came back to my studio. I got the same Coles microphones. I memorized everything. And you know what? I'm kidding you not. It sounded like shit. Because my room, my environment wasn't right.
Right. For that setup.
Setup that he uses. Yep. He uses in this studio. So, and that's related to, and the reason I mentioned that, and by the way, I've done it many times that I watch an engineer do something and I thought it sounded beautiful. And I said, you know, next time I'm in my joint, I'm going to try it.
Right.
That's what I'm saying to all the guys out there who are in the process of learning how to record. You can watch a wonderful video on YouTube and the guy really produced some great sounds. And he will show you how he did it. But it's okay. You might try the exact same thing with the same gear, with the same microphone. But remember, you're going to be in a different environment. Your drum sounds different. You play different. What you do need to remember, vision the sound that you heard, that you liked on this video or this session.
Yeah.
Memorize that sound. And turn it into your goal. Okay, how can I achieve that? And therefore, maybe I need to move my microphone extra 2 feet away from the kit, or I need to retune my drums to sound slightly different from what I'm used to, and so on and so on. And this is the open-minded thing I'm talking about. And this right. is the a constant adapting approach that we've been living in right now.
Yeah, and there's nothing wrong with experimenting, because on the other hand, you might come up with something completely different, and then really, and then you might like that even more and say,
wow. 100%. You know what? And I compare it to playing drums sometimes. You know why? Sometimes I actually like, it's very cool when somebody that is not a drummer sharing an idea with you. Because yeah. he doesn't think like a drummer.
Right, exactly.
He thinks musically.
He thinks musically.
Not drumistically, like limits it, what I can play, because he's not thinking about what he can play, he's thinking about what he hears. Why well, Steely Dan went through 100 drummers.
Being that you're in the studio all the time, and I always feel like drummers kind of make the best producers. Are you thinking of producing?
100%. Yes, sir.
100%. I believe you would make a great producer.
I appreciate. This is something that I've been doing here and there. Never really put it, you know, never really pushed the gas all the way. But I believe it's a transition, because you know, I don't want it to be like a fade out, fade in. I want it to fade in the production into my drumming world and try to do it more often and create a combination that will just keep me going, because drumming is who I am forever. You know, like you are and all our mutual friends, because, you know, this is who we are.
Right.
Forever. But the answer is yes. Yes, and I hope
good. I'm happy about that, because you understand, you know songs. Now, when you're playing, right? When you first hear a song, I guess by now you're starting to say in your head, because you know we all say, "Well, this is going to be a hit. This is going to be a hit." We all used to say that growing up, and then nothing happens. But
right.
I think now, with all your experience, you're starting to really see what exactly deserves to be a hit record.
Yes, I think it does, and this is my own personal opinion. Obviously, there is some songs you get to a point where, and I get to hear a lot of songs. I really do. And the toughest ones are the ones that are almost great. They're good. But I always say there is no in-between anymore. It's either you do it or you're not doing it. It gotta be great. It gotta stand out. This is a, this is my own personal experience. And for what I've seen, those songs that stands out, those productions that stands out, those artists that stands out are the ones who are very comfortable in their own skin and they're not chasing a particular song or a particular production or a particular sound that happened to be the leading sound or production or song out there right now.
Right, like the flavor of the month.
That's the flavor of the moment, you know. But and if you analyze this thing, you're going to realize, hey, let's give a great example, of a recent example, Billie Eilish. It took me a minute, I admit it. My daughter introduced me to Billie Eilish, to her music, you know? And guess what? Look at this, okay? They made this record in the bedroom. That's A. B, there is a girl out there who is whispering pretty much into the microphone and singing, not screaming, you know? All of a sudden, what I compare it to, you notice that when you're in a big room and there is so many people and everybody talk on top of one another and yell and scream, and all of a sudden there is one person who sits there and speaks quietly, and slowly the room fades out and it gets quieter and quieter, and everybody end up listening to this one person who speaks really quietly. Obviously, hoping he got something smart to say and share, but you know
right.
What I mean? That's
yeah,
the way
no,
I
100%.
I look at it, you know, there is a girl who came across doing something completely different. Completely different. Tell me if I'm wrong. I'm not aware of any other record in a mainstream world that actually stood out like that in the last, what is it, a year and a half or so.
Yeah, I know. She really blew up. And I felt the same as you. Maddie kept telling me, you know, how great Billie Eilish. And I kept going, I don't know. I don't get it. I don't get it. And he's like, you will.
And you know what, bro? He was right. Because I admitted, Billie, the same thing happened to me. And you know when he hit me? When I was driving alone in the car. And I was just listening to music. Mm-hmm. And her song came up and I'm driving in and all of a sudden it start getting deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. And all of a sudden I'm like, I'm getting it. You know, some records, we get it right away. I mean, there is no undeniable, but I guess because we surround by so much information, and so many of those bombastic production and sound, and all of a sudden this thing came up here and it's like, wait a second. All right. You know, let me take a listen. And I'm happy. It makes me happy. It gives me hope.
And it's the opposite of what we were saying. I mean, of course, if you want to make that big production, which is the kind of stuff that you play on,
right.
The kind of stuff that I personally like, you know, the big production type, beautiful love yeah. ballads and everything. But for her generation and that style of music, I think there's a documentary. I think there's a documentary coming out on her, and they talk about making that record with no equipment except the keyboard and the laptop,
yeah,
and the drum machine and her vocal, and in their room, in their parents' house. So it just gives hope to a lot of other aspiring people, you know, to look up to her and say, well, I can do this.
100%. But also to remember, because we have this bittersweet love and hate relationship, our generation, we come from authentic or, you know, organic instruments. When we talk about computers and MIDI, I think it's time to treat those machines as instruments as well. So the computer is an instrument. Right. And you can create some beautiful things with it if you know how to use it and you really dig in. It is an instrument. It doesn't mean that, and I think once you accept that, then things become more easy, much easier for us, and give us the opportunity to explore. Okay, I can use the computer as an instrument. I couldn't do it 20 years ago. I can do it now.
Right. And it's a tool. You know, we're given, this younger generation is given so many tools. You know, there's good and bad about social media and good and bad about YouTube and everything. But same thing with computers and when drum machines came out. But it they're all tools, and it's how you use those tools and how you apply those tools.
And we talked about it before. It's like, where is the... There is a dividing line there. It's like, I'm going back to drumming for a second. Oh, it doesn't matter. In our case, it's drumming. Could be a guitar player or any other instrument.
Right.
It's the difference between, you used to listen to records that you loved growing up, and you used to listen to what the drummer played because you loved it and you wanted to be able
to emulate it,
to emulate it and play it, and
no click back in the day, no click tracks,
no click, no thing.
So everything was a little looser. That push and feel is what gave it the energy and the excitement.
Yeah. We mentioned Stan Lynch. That's a great example for this generation, right?
Yep.
And the difference is that right now you listen to anything and you want to know how to play it, you click on YouTube and somebody will be out there showing you exactly how to play it. I'm not saying it's wrong, but what it does take away from you, it's your extra cells in your brain to go the extra mile to imagine how I can produce this performance, how I can execute this performance.
Right.
Come with my own interpretation, if you like.
Exactly.
You know,
you need to make it your own.
You need to make it your own, you know. I mean, remember all the days where the maestro that we all love forever, Mr. Steve Gadd, who every now and then come with undeniable drum beat or anything he ever played. but we not always had the access to really go and see exactly how he played those patterns. So you listen and you come up with your own interpretation.
Yep.
And later on you find out the exact way he played it. Great. You add it to your arsenal of experience and knowledge, and open up your coordination and open up your creativity and so on and so on. Like I said, it's a fine line over there. And like I said before, so we need to adapt all the time.
Yep. And learning, like we said before as well, you're always learning. Like when we were talking about, Kevin Valentine and some of those people, you always want to go to the next, you know, in a way that's bad. Cause I mean, sometimes for me, especially, it's always like, okay, next.
Yep. I know exactly what you mean, buddy.
Yeah, but I think that's what keeps us passionate and makes us better as we go on. Because otherwise, if you just sit back and rest on your laurels and if you don't want to learn anything new or try, you know, different things, it may not work, but who cares?
You know, 100%.
You try it.
100%. Oh, yeah. You cannot lose your passion. You know, two main things, man. You never stop dreaming, and therefore you don't lose your passion for what you do. If you do not lose your passion for the love of music, you'll be okay.
Right.
You will keep practicing. You're going to keep learning and you're going to keep experimenting. and keep your ears open, you know, because it's just the AB. If you lose all that, if you lose your passion to it, and it just become like a business, I think you're going to hit the wall pretty soon, sooner than you think.
You know how much I love you. I want to thank you.
I love you back, bro. I appreciate having you.
I mean, you've been doing this now. You've been at the top of the game for over 20 years, and you're still going. You're still relevant, and it's
thank you.
You know, you're one of the guys that I admire so much because you play, you know, the way I love, and you fit in with all those studio guys that came all the way from back in the day with Hal Blaine and Jeff and Jim Keltner and all those people, and Shannon Forrest as well, all you guys, yeah. You know, all you guys, and you know, those guys were there, and you came in, and I'll say it again because we talked about it before, that was a close-knit community. So because of your personality and because of the great player that you are, that's why people got you and accepted you and got you going, because a lot of people at that time started, even to this day, everybody's moving to Nashville, and it's not, you know, it's not just like we were saying before, buying all this equipment. That's not going to make you great. There's a lot of experience and time that you have to put in, and you've done that over and over. You've proved it. So I just want to say thank you again. And everybody, check out some stuff Nir did. Thank you so much. And be safe. And I speak to you soon.
Bye, everyone. Thank you, Billy.
Thank you.
Love to the family, brother.
Same to you. Thank you so much.
We'll talk soon.
Thank you everybody for listening to part two of Nir Z's podcast with Modern Drummer. You got to listen to part one, listen to part two again. There's so much gold, there's so much to learn from Nir, his playing, his experience, his approach, his drumming, of course, from the sound to the capture of that sound. I learned a lot. I know you guys are all learning a lot from this. And check out his cover story in 2019 in Modern Drummer. Thanks for listening and watching. Thank you, everybody, for watching this week's Modern Drummer podcast. Stay tuned for next week's episode exclusively on Podcast One. Until then, stay safe and healthy, and thanks for listening and watching.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.